Well, a very big welcome to everybody here this evening. Welcome to those who are watching online as well. We're a much smaller group this evening, and that's because of the baptism at All Saints. Four are being baptised, as I understand it, there, including Jethro Hook and Lever McNaughton, two people that have been very much linked with us over the years. So we praise God for that and what's happening there. And it's a good reason for us to have a smaller congregation this evening. There is refreshments afterwards. I think there will be enough to go round. So do stay on afterwards for refreshments if you'd like to. I don't know if you ever get whether you have the YouVersion app on your phone. I've started to try and look at the verse for the day, especially towards the end of the day. But I noticed it earlier in the day today, and it was Psalm 18 and verse 2. And I thought that linked in quite well with Mark's choice of a first song that we have. So let me read the start of Psalm 18. In fact, I'll read the first three verses as it leads us nicely into our first song. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. So hopefully we're in good voice, as there's less voices around this evening. And we're going to sing, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, greatest treasure of my longing soul. Let's stand to sing our first song. Steve and Liz Potts situation, so that you could pray for them and their family, and especially their son James and wife Laura. So James and Laura had their second child just under 3 weeks ago, and there were unexpected complications at birth, and it's led to severe brain damage for the child. It's been a very difficult roller coaster of experiences, as you can imagine. Very hard for them all to go through these last 2 or 3 weeks. They kept it very quiet initially, but more people are knowing of the situation now. The child, Otterly, is not expected to live long, and she is in a children's hospice in Sussex. The family have been upheld in faith, but obviously have gone through very draining and a very, very difficult pathway, and I'm sure we feel for them greatly in what they've gone through and are going through and will go through in the uncertain days ahead. So we'll remember Steve and Liz Potts in our prayers. But shall we come in praise and in prayer to the Lord? Oh Lord, we come to you, the God of creation, who spoke and brought things into being, a God of immense wisdom and power and magnificence and greatness. We worship you as our maker. Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. We come to you, a God who is in control. Lord, we acknowledge you as the sovereign one over all things, bringing about your plans, sometimes mysterious, sometimes hard for us, but overruling evil forces, overruling sad circumstances, according to your sovereign plan, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We come to you, a God of compassion. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the way so many times he was moved with compassion at the need around him. We thank you for the compassion you've had towards us spiritually. We pray to be compassionate like you in our concern for others. We thank you to see that video this morning of Caring for Life and the very genuine and evident compassion shown by those Christians for those struggling in the area of Leeds. And we do pray that we may have a heart of compassion in our own spheres of influence down here too. Lord, we come to you and we come recognizing how sad some circumstances are in people's lives. And our heart especially goes out to James and Laura and to Steve and Liz and others in the family at this time of a somewhat bewildering development of events. We know that thankfully these days so many childbirths are comparatively straightforward, delightful affairs, and we're thankful for the advances in medicine which bring that to us. And so it is so particularly sad when there are complications like we have heard of and have occurred in these last 2 or 3 weeks. And Lord, we do pray for Steve and Liz, we pray for James and Laura. We thank you that you have upheld them. Lord, we remember that you are the God who would gently lead those who are with young, and how especially that is needed at this time of this delicate and sad situation. Oh Lord, do hold them especially tight. We commit them to you as they have developed a bond with little Otterly, and as it looks as though that life will be so limited and so short-lived. Lord, uphold them now and in the events that might unfold and in the months and years ahead with whatever that brings in terms of its consequences. We know that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And so we do ask that you would especially bring comfort by the Holy Spirit to those affected by this situation. We do pray for others as well. We know health concerns affect many, physical health, mental health. We know that some have been in hospital, others have health appointments. We commit them to you. We especially pray for Paul Philpott as he begins this period of chemotherapy this week. Lord, we commit him to you, as it's likely to lead to several months of difficulty as the medication takes its effect and has some side effects. Lord, we do pray that if it would please you, the side effects might be minimal. Lord, it's a hard route to go. We pray that the medication, if it would please you, might be successful and really helpful in his condition. We pray that you might bless him and Sue and the family, especially spiritually during this period. We think of the way the Lord Jesus endured. And we pray that where endurance is necessary for them through these times, and especially Paul, that you might give that to him. And we pray that through these what might be difficult experiences, there might be a special sense of the closeness of the risen Christ, that he might understand more of you and be blessed with your presence in a special way. We know that the family are very involved with different parts of the life of the church and do so much. And we commit that to you as well during this period. Lord, we think of the fact that there are young people being baptized this evening at All Saints. And amongst them are some of those that we've prayed for years. And we're just so delighted that they are openly professing Christ. And that your mercy and compassion have been felt by them. And we pray for that service to go really well, for the gospel to be sounded out, for people to be helped as they give their testimonies. And we pray for the young people, and not just the young people, but the many people who will be there, that it might be a time when you are at work. Lord, we do pray for those who are young people who watch and see others say that they're following Christ. Perhaps some of them are not following Christ, or some of them have not been open about following Christ. We pray that you might work through these events. We pray for the individuals being baptized, because we know it's the start of a life in following Jesus, and that there are many battles and temptations and difficulties on the way ahead. Help them to walk worthy of the gospel, to grow in knowledge, to be increasingly useful and fruitful in their lives, we pray. Lord, we pray for the young people here or generally here. We're thankful for so many who come from filling upstairs, and we do pray that you would bless them while they're young. Give them a thirst for your truth. Build them up in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them as they make their choices as they go through life. Bring many of them to faith, a strong faith, an active faith, we pray. And Lord, you know we're on the lookout for a youth worker to assist in the life of the church here, and that's been a prayer for us, a concern for us. We pray again that you would guide and provide for what you want, that will be a real point of service and assistance to the ministry of this church in coming years. Lord, we pray that your word would enter deeply into our hearts, that the word of Christ will dwell in us richly. We thank you for your word, which we love, to have it open often on our own privately, and to have it often open publicly in our services. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless us as your word is open this evening. We thank you for Mark and his ministry amongst us, for the many ways in which he serves with such a gospel heart, and such a loving mind. And as he brings your word to us this evening, we pray that you would help him, and we pray that you might bless us. May the Holy Spirit be at work applying the word to our hearts for your glory. So be with us in our time together, we pray, and we ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to sing together our second song, which is another one that fits in well with the theme. It's the song, A Sovereign Protector I Have. And then after that, Paul Baker is going to do the Bible reading for us.
So we're reading from Psalm 33, which is, if you're following it in the church Bibles, on page 463. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Amen. Now we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing of Christ as the Word of God. You're the Word of God the Father from before the world began. Let's stand.
Good evening once again. It's good to see you all. And again, another warm welcome to those of you online. This evening we're looking at Psalm 33 and the theme of shouting for joy. Well, this last Thursday evening, the England men's football team played Wales at a Wembley in a friendly. I didn't see the match. But I did see a news article about it the next day where Thomas Tuchel, the England manager, was criticising the England fans. And he said this. He said, "I love English football and I love English football fans and the support they give. But I think the atmosphere did not match the performance on the field. We were 3-0 up after 20 minutes. And I felt like, why is the roof still on the stadium?" In his mind, The roof should have been blown off the stadium with the amount of noise that the fans were making because they were so busy celebrating because of the team. But obviously most of the fans who were there didn't agree. It was only a friendly. It didn't really matter as a match at all. And I heard as well that a lot of the seats were empty quite a chunk at a time because most people were more interested in enjoying the hospitality of Wembley Stadium and the food and drink on offer than the actual game. The reality is that a significant chunk of the people there didn't think it was that worthy of celebration. But you know, the contrast could not be greater when we compare that to God. God is so worthy of our praise, so worthy of our celebration, so worthy of being the focus and trust of our lives. This morning I found myself singing, I don't know all the words, but I found myself singing, "O Great God of Highest Heaven." And it was particularly this bit that struck me. "You are worthy to be praised with my every thought and deed. O great God of highest heaven, glorify your name through me." Now, as a culture, I think it's pretty fair to say that we're pretty reserved. But it would be a sad thing, wouldn't it, if God were to criticize us for not truly worshipping him, for not celebrating him. If we're trusting in Jesus and if we are following him, then listen to what we are commanded to do right at the start of Psalm 33. "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous." Well, the psalm just before it, Psalm 32, is all about the blessing of being forgiven. It's a very personal psalm. It ends like this: "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." And it's as if Psalm 33 kind of picks off where Psalm 32 ends and sort of broadens it to all of us and says, "Pick up your instruments, let's sing together, and let's shout for joy in the Lord." So this is verses 1 to 3. "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts." Well, how do you feel as you listen to those words? We're going to spend a bit of time, before we get on to the rest of the psalm, we're going to spend quite a bit of time just on these first three verses, really just soaking them in and thinking about them. If we're Christians, we've been made righteous through Jesus. Remember what it says in Romans 3, "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." So if we believe in him, then we can have that righteousness through Jesus. So if we are Christians, we are declared righteous before God. And so if that is then us, if we are righteous, then what does this psalm say we should be doing? Well, praise should be overflowing from us. It should be flowing out of us. And when it says shout in verse 1 and loud shouts in verse 3, it's not describing some sort of, you know what it's like, some sort of kids' party where everyone's shouting and screaming. And to be honest, you go home with a sort of debilitating headache. That's not really what it's describing here. It's really this sort of jubilant exultation, this heartfelt jubilation. That's what it's describing here. It's praise that cannot be suppressed. It has to be expressed. Can't be suppressed. It has to be expressed. Praise befits the upright, it says. It's right for Christians to praise. It's appropriate for them. It suits them. In fact, actually, it would be very strange if there were Christians that weren't praising God, that weren't worshipping. There'd be something wrong there. It's suitable for the Christian to praise and to worship and to shout for joy. Did you notice that the phrases in verses 1 to 3 that call for this outward celebratory expression of worship? Shout for joy, praise, give thanks with the lyre, make melody with the harp of 10 strings, sing, play skillfully on the strings. You know, music's a wonderful gift of God that he's given to us to enable us to worship him more, to praise him. It's not always the most relaxing when you're standing up the front or you're responsible for some part of the church service. But one of the things that is a real blessing is being up the front when everyone's singing, particularly when it's a full church. The volume sort of directed, obviously it's not at you in some ways, but in your direction that is towards God, it is such a blessing to hear. It's so loud, it's so good to hear so many voices praising God. And I love times of singing in the church. And I love the time sometimes we have after a service when we gather together and we sing together and we're worshipping God and we're singing truth to each other. It stirs me up, and I know it does for some of you too. And we're not told exactly who wrote this psalm, but it could well have been David. But he was a talented musician. He loved singing, he loved music. And I'm so thankful for the talented musicians that we have here. Obviously, some of them are away. It's lovely to have Esther with us. A good number are away. But we're grateful for them, for the hours they put in to practice and the way they use their skills to help us to praise God well. But as well as the skill that they have, I'm thankful as well for their humility, for the way that they lead us, the way they don't make it about themselves and they don't make it about the music. They do it to lead us in praise. And that is so important, isn't it? Because we do need to be so wise, don't we, in how we do our music. Because it is, it can happen sometimes, can't it, where people go and they go to maybe a service or a conference and they come out and they say, whoa, the worship was awesome. I've got goosebumps. And yet in everything they're talking about, it's all about the band or the singer that they heard. Maybe it was a famous singer. And that's all they talk about. And actually, God doesn't get a mention. And there's been this emotional high, but God's not really been the focus at all. And it's been about how it can make them feel, and that's all. And we do need to be aware of the dangers of that, that just a feeling is not the same thing as experiencing God's presence. But it's also really important to remember that the music and these instruments are a wonderful gift from God. They're given by God to aid us and to help us. They're given as a vehicle to help us to sing, to help us to worship. The key thing here is that it should all be about God. It should be about him, and it should be done in the right spirit. Because did you notice what else it says in the first three verses? It says, shout for joy in the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Make melody to him. Sing to him a new song. You see how it's so God-focused, all of it? Remember what Jesus says when he's talking to the woman at the well? He says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. It's important that we worship God and we worship in the right way with the right heart, the attitude of praise and adoration to him. It also says in verse 3 to sing a new song. A new song. There's this idea of freshness here. There's more to praise God for all his wonderful attributes. There's more experiences of God's grace that we experience in our life that might lead us to sing new songs to him. There's always more that we could sing about, more of God's character. And it's true, isn't it, that there are some older songs. I suspect all of us here have some older songs that we love, that are very special to us. Maybe they've been sort of there at a key point in our lives and they've had a big impact on us, and so that we treasure them. But new songs can be a real blessing as well, can't they? Maybe it's something we write if we're creative. But sometimes we benefit from others, don't we, who sing new songs. And I was thinking about Christ Our Wisdom. We learned that, some of us learned that recently. It's a song by Sovereign Grace Music. And verse 2 in that, I don't know it particularly well because I don't know the song that well, but verse 2 just fits in really well with this psalm. This is what it says. Christ Our Wisdom, be our gladness. When we fail to understand, you ordain all joy and sadness to fulfill your perfect plan. Help us know you rule with power over every raging flood. In our most uncertain hour, you are God and we are loved. It's a pretty good summary actually of this psalm as we go through it. But it's a new song and it does us good as we sing it, as we think about these truths. But as people who live in the new covenant, we also have a new song that we can all sing, a song that is directed to Jesus. This is what we read in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you, Jesus, to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And then in Revelation 14, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps, and they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth." See, as Christians, we have a new song. They couldn't sing like we can in the Old Testament. Charles Spurgeon, many of you will have known of him, the famous 19th century preacher, he once said this: "To rejoice in temporal comforts is dangerous. To rejoice in self is foolish. To rejoice in sin is fatal. But to rejoice in God is heavenly." To rejoice in God is heavenly. So verses 1 to 3 tell us to shout for joy, to rejoice in God. And in verses 4 to 19, most of the rest of the psalm tell us that the reasons why. Why should we rejoice? Well, maybe you're not feeling full of joy this evening. Well, maybe as we go through these verses, maybe it will just help spark something in you that helps you to praise God and shout for joy. And the more we get these reasons, the more we will want to shout for joy. So we're going to just go over them fairly briefly. Firstly, he is good. It's a bit of an underwhelming statement, really, I'm afraid. Listen to this, verses 4 and 5. "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord." Is that not a beautiful picture of who God is? It's something we've seen in the mornings, isn't it? As we've been going through Isaiah, we've seen the justice and the righteousness and the faithfulness of God. And that is good news for his people. That is good news who have him as their God. It is good news for those who are oppressed and those who are worried. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. It's full. It hasn't got a little drop in it. It's full of the steadfast love of the Lord. And the steadfast love, unwavering, unfailing. constant mercy, kindness to his covenant people. It's the Hebrew word hesed. We've talked about it before, some of you may remember. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. The steadfast love comes up three times in this psalm. It's something we need to notice. It's something we need to celebrate. He is good. But he's also the creator. Verses 6 to 9, he is the creator. I saw an advert for a TV this week, and it was very proudly displaying the fact that the remote for it was voice controlled, or at least you could use your voice with it. It's amazing, isn't it, what you can do with your voice nowadays with tech. You can say all sorts of things, and things can happen. But let's compare that to God's voice just for a moment. What can God do with his voice? Verse 6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He's talking about all the stars and all the galaxies. Got a picture up there of a galaxy, but in the background you can see others, and what look like stars in the background are really, most of them are actually galaxies, each one with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of stars in each one, and each star being hugely bigger than the Earth. And that's just a tiny little picture of the universe. If you ever looked at the number of galaxies and the number of stars and the size of stars, you just cannot get your mind even around just a little bit of it. And how did God make it? By the word of the Lord. He spoke. By the breath of his mouth, the stars and the galaxies were made. Verse 7, he gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. If you've ever seen videos of a flash flood or a tsunami, you know how powerful water is, how destructive it can be. And yet, it's as if God kind of just gathers the water together, and he puts the oceans there, and he gets the lakes there. He just gathers all the water together. It's no trouble for him. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. You know, the only logical response to these verses is just to stand in awe of God. I remember Luke Woodham's telling me at the end of their holiday in the summer, they went down to Cornwall, and he said he was at Kynance Cove. Some of you know it, it's a beautiful place. And he said he just stood there looking at the waves and the rocks, and he just said just the awe of God just struck him, just at how powerful and awesome God is. But isn't that the logical response to God's wonderful creation? Awe. You know, I think one of the tragedies of today's world is that because of science, we have an amazing knowledge of the world around us in terms of its complexity, in terms of its size, in terms of the minuscule things as well, in terms of things like DNA. We have incredible knowledge about the world around us, and still there's so much we don't know. And it is mind-blowing. You know, almost whatever you look at is mind-blowing. And yet so many people walk around today refusing to credit God as a creator, because they would much rather believe that it came from nothing. You know, God being the creator should spark a sense of awe and worship in us. It should make us shout for joy. And maybe it does when you see a beautiful view or when you learn something amazing about the world. And it makes you sort of shout for joy. Well, we know creation's a big deal in our praise of God, because we get a glimpse into the spiritual realm in Revelation 4. And listen to what they praise God for. It says, and when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast out their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, O Lord and God, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." See, in heaven there is this praise and worship because God is the creator. But what else? He is sovereign, verses 10 to 12. He is sovereign. I remember watching a video a little while ago on YouTube of an expert chess player. And they went undercover to one of these places. I think it was like in New York where there's loads of chess games going on. And they go and they challenge people to games. And this expert challenged someone. And the person facing them is pretty good. They play quite a lot. And it is quite amusing because at the beginning, you know, the opponent's often quite loudmouthed, pretty confident, moving their pieces around the board. And yet you slowly see this expert chess player just move their pieces into place. And they're essentially toying with them, really. And quite often they deliver the killer move and they crush their opponent. And you realise it was never really that close. They're just so good at chess. But the difference in power and ability is even more stark when we think about God and the nations. Listen to what it says, verse 10. "The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage." You know, people will make moves on the chessboard, as it were. Kings and queens and presidents will plot and will scheme. But God has his controlling hand over all of it. Everything is within his control. He is more than capable of thwarting people from very powerful nations and countries. And his plan cannot be stopped. The plan that comes from his heart cannot be stopped. And of course, the clearest example is the cross. Remember at the cross when the plan of the people was to crush Jesus, when Satan celebrated, "Jesus is dead, victory is mine." And yet it was the very means that God uses to crush Satan's head. It was the very means of the cross to achieve salvation for God's people, for people like you and me. And as Christians, we are now included in that nation of people that is his, the people that are his heritage. And there is no greater blessing than that. He is sovereign over all. Nothing is outside of his control. Nothing is beyond his control. And nothing can thwart his wonderful plans for us. It's a reason to shout for joy, isn't it? And then I'll phrase the next one. He is watching over us. He is watching over us, verses 13 to 19. I find this so encouraging. So just reading from verse 13. "The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the heart of them all and observes all their deeds." And then jumping forward to verse 18. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine." But sometimes on a Friday night with Action, we go swimming. And they absolutely love it. It's a fun activity. And as leaders, we love it too, because we get to sit in the cafe and have a hot chocolate or coffee or whatever. But we know that there are lifeguards that are watching over them. There's lifeguards in their high seats that are keeping a careful eye on them to make sure that none of them are drowning or in difficulty. And if there is an incident, they're ready to dive in and to rescue them and to help them. That's what they're trained to do. That's what they spend all their time doing. And there's a picture here of God sitting on his throne above the earth. He's enthroned on high and he's looking at the people on earth. He's powerful and he's mighty, but he's not distant. He's not disengaged from the world. No, his eye is on the people of the world. And he's especially watching those who love and follow him. Remember in Matthew 10 where Jesus talks about the fact that God cares even about two sparrows. Well, how much more does he care for us, people made in his image? You see throughout the Bible and throughout history as well of stories of where God protects and cares and watches over his people. And he protects them from famine and death, as the verses say. And how do we see this even more clearly now, that if we're in Jesus, he has saved us from the curse of death itself? Is that not what they're celebrating at All Saints at the moment with the baptisms, that there have been those who have been brought into life? They've been saved from the curse of death, that they've been given eternal life. God watches over us. He cares for us. Nothing can harm us unless he says so. Shout for joy in the Lord. Well, why? Well, he's good. He's the creator. He's sovereign over all things. And he's watching over us to protect us and to care for us and to keep us from death. Well, how does the psalm end? How does it end? Well, verses 20 to 22. See that we are to trust and have joy in the Lord. Trust and joy in the Lord. There's a humble waiting, glad trust in God. Verse 20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart is glad in him, because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. In the light of all that's been said, there's this wonderful sense of trust and joy. Here's the thrust of this psalm, really, I think, is that those who trust in the Lord completely rejoice in the Lord fully. Those who trust in the Lord completely rejoice in the Lord fully. You know, the world we live in is a very uncertain place, isn't it? And there are so many unknowns in life. We don't even know what this week will hold for us. But whatever's going on, we can trust God because of those things. We can place our trust in God. And as we do that, it leads to a gladness and a joy that should make us want to shout to God for joy. It should make us want to sing. It should make us want to worship. Well, let's just have a few moments of quiet thoughtfulness or prayer, and then we're going to sing to that awesome God. So let's have a few moments of quiet. Amen. Well, let's sing together, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. reminder that there are refreshments after, so please do stay and enjoy them with us if you'd like to. Well, let's pray to close. Oh Lord God, I pray that you give us a sense of how great you are. And Lord, I do pray that you would fill us each day with a sense of worship, that we would have that right and reverent bursting out of praise to you. Lord, help us to sing for joy. And Lord, help us to trust in you. Lord, whatever our life circumstances, Lord, I pray that we would place our trust in you, and that that would lead to this gladness and this joy that we have to express. And Lord, I pray as well that, as well as singing with our lips, Lord, I pray that our lives as well may be lives of worship to you. And that people may see by looking at our lives as well as hearing the words we speak that you are our God and that you give us joy. Lord, I pray that this is something that would have a big impact on our lives this week and in the coming months. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you once again. Do be with us as we head into another week. Lord, be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.